Freya Billington. I'm a senior lecturer in film at the University of the West of England.
I'm Neil Fox, and I'm a senior lecturer in film at Falmouth University. Today we're going to be talking about film production and the intersection of technology, education and culture in a post-COVID-19 climate. So, to kick off, Freya, what do you see as the main challenges facing film production in higher education as we kind of shift to predominantly online delivery?
I think I've obviously been thinking a lot about this, like we all have. And I think one of the main things to frame this with is that at the moment we are finding some good things and some bad. We know there are some obvious bad things, but we're finding some surprising good things. But I think that we need to be really aware that a lot of what we've managed to make work in this extreme circumstance is after the students have been at university working in groups for the first three quarters of their academic year. So that a lot of the conclusions we're coming to are based very much in students who have had that foundation before they've then had to go online. And I think it's really important that we really are very aware of that when we say that certain things have worked, because they are not working in isolation. They're working because our students have been able to have the filmmaking education we intended leading up to that.
Yes, and I think that it's important to note that it's not just them working in groups with each other, but building relationships with staff, you know, supervisors, tutors, so that when we shifted online, they knew who we were and, you know, we'd been in a room with them. So they kind of went with that shift much more readily than they might normally.
I think 100%. And I think, so all of us know, all of us making films know how much it's about collaboration, how much it's about being connected, how much it's about developing those relationships. And in fact, as you know, I've been doing this series online since lockdown, where I've been talking to professionals from across the whole industry, all of whom, when I said, well, what are the key things that you need to tell students? It's about trying to lift students and being positive. But without lying, it's totally honest and totally, you know, they were absolutely true, speaking from the truth of their experience. And they said the key thing is interpersonal skills, is being able to relate with other people, is being able to communicate with other people effectively, and it's being able to manage those very intense everyday relationships. And if we are not able to teach those, we all know that there is a curriculum, a breakdown between what the curriculum is in terms of information you teach and what comes out of that teaching process. And I fear the loss of that much more than I do the information side.
Yes, because I think that so much of the information that they already have when they arrive is kind of rooted around these ideas of hierarchy and dominance a lot of the time. And the day-to-day teaching of collaboration is trying to problematize and complicate the auteur idea, and that the one person just shouts at everyone and tells them what to do, and what it actually means to be working in a room for a number of months with other people and developing a kind of working relationship. And you can to a certain extent really impact those hierarchies and get and kind of create more balance in the room with students who might be less vocal or kind of not as confident in terms of saying what filmmaking is as some of the other students that they might be in a room with. And I do worry that managing that kind of thing online is going to be much more problematic, if not impossible.
I agree. What they're actually coming for is discussion and, exactly as you said, an awareness. And I think one of the really key things is people come now with an understanding of quite a sophisticated understanding of kit. And we have students who have really good kit at home. They've learned how to use software and they've learned how to use cameras, and they've done that very well. What they haven't learned is how to use those things in a professional capacity. They've learned them as to how they work and what they do, but they haven't learned about how you actually use those. So a really good example is software, where a lot say, I can edit. What they can do is use the software. What they can't do is then assess that material, learn how to create a narrative out of it, and then learn that other people are going to see different things in that material and it's going to become a conversation. And that's not something you can learn unless you get yourself into that space and into that environment.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's emerging as we kind of look towards a new academic year is a blended approach, where the necessity will be that the stuff that's taught face to face is technical, which puts the craft and technical team, and we've got a very good craft and technical team at Falmouth, but that puts them as pretty much maybe the only staff that students will see. And they're going to do, which is their role, exactly what you're saying, is they're going to teach them how to use a camera technically and how to use a software practically. But where is the learning about, like you say, the kind of the critical engagement with that material and the idea that these are tools and not, you know, not what drives the process. You know, they're literally the last things often that come in. And many of the, you know, the professionals that do the masterclasses, be the editors or cinematographers, always say that, you know, that's the last decision. And it comes down to budget, and it comes down to time, and it comes down to what's, you know, all, there's so many different things. But the privileging of technology even more, again, that's another challenge that I think, like the hierarchies, is going, that's what we spend 3 years kind of getting out of students. So that's a worry that, that's going to be even more prominent in their experience on a day-to-day basis.
I'm really worried about that. I mean, because obviously everything closed so fast. And obviously we get to know our students very well, less well than we did before, they were huge numbers, but very well. But what I hadn't obviously realised is how many of them really don't have laptops at home. Mm. And, you know, I don't think UWE is a wealthy university, but it's certainly not full of, it's a mix, I would say. But I hadn't realised how many of them totally relied on the university laptops that they can check out of the library. And so this idea that all this amazing free software and they could carry on doing this and that was a complete illusion. And several of them, it's been very, with the third years, we did manage to get some of them laptops to use. But again, it is that, I think that's going to become a really huge issue. It's almost like it's yet another way of making education even more privileged than it was with the introduction of fees, which is obviously not what we're talking about at the moment. But I'm really concerned about that. And it's all this illusion of free access to all. And I think it goes back to that kind of, hasn't this been an equalising experience, this? And the answer is no, it hasn't. What it's done is it's showed very clearly massive division. And education is the last place that you want to see that.
Yeah, no, I think it is important to talk about that division and that inequality, because I think we're both personally very interested in that, and that, you know, I guess for me, one of the reasons I'm in education is to address that in a tiny way as best as I can. But also, the film industry is a place which is, you know, rampant with inequality and is kind of built on the ability to survive, you know, really kind of harsh and toxic day-to-day living in order to succeed. And I've been really dismayed by the narrative around online, even to the point where in Sight and Sound this month, they're talking about the impact of the pandemic, and Ben Roberts, the CEO of the BFI, says digital opportunities that we're seeing now help ensure equality of opportunity and access. And I'm like, they just don't, you know, like, you're absolutely right. Many of our students who are in every day around the campus every day are high performing, intelligent students. But the reason they're there every day is because they don't have the capabilities at home, you know. So they're in using our studios and but also they're in using the IT, and they're using the internet because they don't have the Wi-Fi speed, they don't have the download speed, and they've been impacted more by this shift online, because before they would be around the building, and now they can't be online and engaging in the same way.
I'm sounding negative, and that's not my intention. I think it's not useful to be totally negative, but it's also not useful to pretend that actually what we're doing is just, we're just telling it some information. Actually, we're not. Teaching is a lot more than that, and hugely complex, and I think it's to try and simplify it to, we'll just share information down the screen, then people can come and look at someone. Again, you have to ask, why is it okay for technicians to be in the space with students, but not lecturers? And I think that's another thing, again, about hierarchy. I think there are a lot of questions around that. So I feel like, you know, I feel like we've kind of talked about, obviously, what a lot of the struggles are. But what do you think the opportunities are that are going to arise out of this kind of increased online provision for teaching film production at this level?
I think what I'm hopeful for is that there's a chance for people to develop kind of independent voices in a much more considered way than even, you know, like you say, that our course is a big course, you know, and sometimes it's hard. And you start to see that towards the end of the third year because of the way the third year is built for undergrads. But it is difficult. And I'm hoping that because of there's going to be so many limitations and so many things that have to be, you know, kind of problems that have to be solved and things that have to be kind of surmounted constantly, that what the students have to do on a day-to-day basis is going to be much more closely aligned with how we actually teach and what we actually teach. So we teach, like you say, kind of problem solving, creative limitations, you know, kind of being innovative with no money, no time. You know, we teach the independent filmmaking way, and that is going to be what students are going to have to engage with. And I think that my experience is that it takes them a while to realize that they're in a space where that's the mode of filmmaking. They think that, you know, they come into university and that they're going to make films like they make at Pinewood, you know, or it's going to be a Bond movie. And it's like, that's just not, that's not it. And the texts that we use and the filmmakers that we use are chosen because they represent the way that we can make films, and also kind of philosophically how we like to make films and how we think films should and could be made, you know, opening up how many different types of filmmaking there are. But often the students kind of resist that and want to have huge crews with 50 assistants because that's what they kind of know and see, and, you know, and that's just not necessarily going to be the reality for the next couple of years, at even at the top level. So I think that there's the opportunity, if we can make it work, to help them understand that what we teach is a viable, you know, positive way of filmmaking that relies much more on them thinking creatively constantly rather than delegating responsibility for their own ideas and their own process to this kind of ether, which kind of a lot of them do.
I think what I've been, so I've managed to cling on to, despite numbers increasing over the 10 years that I've been teaching, managed to cling on to out of their 3 years, at least 2 modules, which are all about them trying to work alone or working alone. And it's for all of the reasons you've just said, is that, you know, it's got to be a mix, and they've got to learn the skills of being a part of a big crew, but they've also got to learn that if it doesn't work and there's nobody else to blame, it's because actually you need to take accountability and you need to take responsibility. What's been amazing out of all the marking that I've been doing, and remember, I would say again what I said right at the beginning of this, is we're marking students who had the foundation of being at uni. So then, well, this is not going to be the same result this time next year. Obviously, we have no idea what's going to be the case this time next year. But is that several of them, and this is third years, I've been marking all the final portfolios, and I've been marking first years as well, is that several of them have really reveled in the opportunity to do something on their own. And that they're obviously, several of them devastated, they were going to make their big films, and we don't have a model of massive crews. It's very deliberate that we are, our biggest crews are probably 10 to 12 people, and our smallest crews are still about 4 or 5. But some of them have absolutely reveled in that opportunity, and several even said they found it, that they felt like they'd been more focused in this period than they had at any of their point during uni. So again, that's a response to they've done all their time at the university, but it has been really, it's been quite extraordinary. And I think people have been quite self-questioning about why they're trying to make what they're making. And a lot of them, and this has been really marked, really assessed of how much they've learned over the period of time they've been at the uni. I mean, really suddenly said, I've suddenly realized I can do that. I hadn't realized that I had all these skills and that now I had a chance to kind of use them. And that's been quite wonderful. That's been quite a lovely thing. And part of me would quite like to sustain that bit where they go, actually, we learnt loads, as opposed to have to wait for 2 years when they lock people then email back and go, I've just realised we learned absolutely loads. Thanks very much.
Well, I think this period has had a built-in opportunity for reflection in a different way. And I think you're right that, you know, some of the students reading some of the work, they've taken responsibility for themselves in this period and chosen to reflect, which was really invigorating as well. Yeah, kind of looking at that third year work and seeing how they'd reckoned with what had happened and how they'd kind of spun something positive out of it, in terms of, like you say, they'd had 6 weeks of thinking, you know, which a lot of us have tried to carve out in this period, and that gives me hope that that there's space in whatever the new way of doing things is for those kind of moments, and those are the things I'll definitely be trying to protect.
So, I mean, I keep saying to students, this is a pause, it's not a full stop, it's a pause. Filmmaking is never going to stop. It keeps morphing, it keeps changing, and yet the key skills that we are explaining and teaching and you're engaging with are there the entire time, whatever type of film it is you're doing and with however many people you're making it with. There's one other thing, actually, I did want to say this. I think you and me are going to, and we're going to feel this like a lot of other members of Nehemia, a lot of other film teachers, is the university will have to make protocols that fit the whole university. And that's what really worries me as a film course, because and I think there are quite a few other art courses, is that we don't work in the same way as the bulk of the university. And, you know, I understand the university has to think in terms of what are we going to do as a whole. But my big fear is that they, I don't know how much time they've got for really looking at course by course assessment. We are not, we can't work the same way as a business course. And I know nothing about the business course. I just know principally we can't. Does that make sense?
No, it does. Yeah. And it's, you know, Falmouth is a smaller arts university, but it's the same. It's the same thing. You know, a graphic design course and a fashion course and a film course are all fundamentally different in terms of how they operate, workshop spaces, working alone, you know, kind of all those things. From what I know, the university has just started to ask, you know, what the needs of the course are. One of the things I'm really interested in when I'm teaching is the pedagogy of discomfort. I know that they're young people and I know that there is an insularity. University for me is the first place where they're exposed to the ideas that it's not them. And putting them in a position in a room where you're kind of challenging that safely, but also starting to make them question and seeing whether some of them will and some of them won't. We moved online after a period of time where we'd been able to have those kind of conversations and those provocations and those lessons. The exciting thing was that, yeah, some of them, you could see them working it through and you could see them thinking about the situation and understanding that it's bigger than them, and some of them couldn't. And those are always the kind of the harsh lessons at the end, is like some of them just haven't engaged with those ideas. And but that's kind of one of the challenges of what we do, a challenge which is exacerbated by online delivery, no doubt.
I love pedagogy of discomfort. I'm going to steal that. That's absolutely extraordinary. Because I think one of the other things that we've both talked about in the past is you know, film is a way of being, as we spoke, reactive and stuff. And will they start to get more kind of, will, because I don't find them passive at all. I think we have wonderful students, but I do find them very, very anxious about grades and very anxious about what it is to do the right thing. And obviously I know that's because that's being force-fed through school, and I have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, and it was all about just get the right answers down, get the right answers down. And so I feel like we spend a whole minimum of a year saying there isn't a right answer here, there really isn't. And so I teach failure, actively teach failure. And so I think we'll feel like teaching failure and discomfort. We kind of got it nailed. There is the answer for managing a pandemic. Are you lacking comfort? And are you failing? Brilliant. You're nailing it.
Yeah, you'll go far.
You know, we've both talked about work that we might cite them, send them to. But I also have found, what I love about lectures and conversations is people send me to work. Yeah. Is that we all send each other this big circle to work. You work with Mark Jenkins, who is completely unique in his very small crew, and I think for students to be aware of that as a model is amazing.
Yeah.
I've done lots of stuff. We've had some students not doing Stan Brakhage-esque work, but working in that kind of way. They've already started reshooting Alan Bennett with contemporary actors, you know, the soliloquies. There are many things that they can look at.
Again, is one of the things that's exciting is they're going to have to just be wherever they are and kind of do it, and then pointing them in the direction of, yeah, Maya Deren, Andrew Cotting, people like Shane Carruth, you know, kind of tiny crew. But Primer is a great example, because it's a narrative, two people in a garage. You know, like these are possible. You know, there's no romance. You could probably do that 2 meters apart. That I think that there are a lot of people that we can turn people onto who will see the resonances in a way they wouldn't necessarily before. It's great to have Mark Jenkin on staff. Although for an analog filmmaker, you know, he's even less excited about online delivery than we are, as you can imagine.
I can imagine.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for this conversation.
Really enjoyed it. Really good to talk it through.